that's what we want the Lord to do today through us and in us as we worship. Welcome to everyone today. We have some honored guests here today and got family here today. And so bless you, and let's have a great time together in the Lord. He is worthy of worship and praise. Will you join me as we pray? Lord, today it is good to be in your house. It is good to be known by you, and it's good to know you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in praising you and making a joyful sound, a joyful noise unto you in worship, pouring out our hearts in praise. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would now bless us, that we could just take full advantage of your presence in our lives and be open to you and allowing you to work in our heart and our spirit and our mind, and help us, Lord, to be the true worshipers you desire. I pray for Joel, that you'll fill him with your spirit as he proclaims the good news to us today. I pray for each person here, for our guests and our longtime members. We're grateful for each one that's here, and ask you to move in our lives today, that when we leave, that people would know that we've been with you. I pray that you administer to all the hurts, the pain, the mourning and the grief that maybe some of our folks have today, and come close to them and let them know your comfort and strength. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Pray for the missions throughout the world, missionaries that are at work today, other churches that are proclaiming the good news, that many would come to know you today all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand together as we worship by singing a great hymn, "Oh Worship the King."
Oh worship the King, oh glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a million in splendor and crowned with praise. Oh, tell of his might and sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose garb his face, his chariots of wrath, the thunder clouds roar, and darkness is fast on the wings of the storm.
Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I know you're all saying what I was saying the first time I looked at those lyrics preparing for today. Ineffable. I don't use that very much. Do y'all? So we looked it up. We looked it up with the choir on Wednesday night. And I looked it up as I was getting ready. It's kind of an overwhelming quality or character of God that you just cannot fully describe. So ineffable love of the Lord. So that's what you just sang. And thank you for doing it and trusting me. that I made sure the lyrics were appropriate for you to sing this morning. So we think about worship. And a lot of times being the music guy, the minister of music, which, by the way, I've done since I was 18 years old, and actually did it sort of like Carson and Garrett and all that before that in my home church. So I've been doing music as a minister really since I was 15, because I was ordained to the ministry and called to the ministry at 15. And so the music's a very important part of worship to me. And so I know some of you are built differently, and you know, you can't wait to get to the spoken word, but hopefully what the music does is prepares your heart for when Joel comes to bring it. But music is an act of worship in itself, so is the preaching of the word. Everything we do, the offering, is an act of worship. So don't ever take any of this lightly. But what I want you to know is that the music is not worship itself, but it's a part of it. And we are worshiping the Lord through music. If we took all the music out of the service, we could still worship the Lord here. And so we don't intend to do that. I kind of like my job security, you know. But we want to worship the Lord through the music. The lyrics, the word of God that's in these songs really comes out. That's kind of what the thought of this next song is. It's an older praise and worship song written by Matt Redman. And I've told this story before, but just to refresh your memory, Matt's pastor said, okay, enough's enough. They had been dealing with the worship war kind of thing and dealing with all kind of thing. The music was kind of just building and building. It's more of this and more of that. He said, let's just stop doing the music for a little while. So they took a sabbatical from the music portion of the worship. And so when they got back to it a few months later, people appreciated it more, and they took advantage of the worship through the music. And they realized it was a tool. The music's a tool for us to worship. The worship comes through the lyrics and bringing praise to the Lord through that. And I think the Lord has gifted us with a great tool in music. And so when we sing this today, it's all about the heart. If you notice Joel's sermons, they're all about the heart. That's one thing I noticed 18 years ago when I came, is that he could kind of cut to the chase. He cuts to what's really important in it. And so as you listen to him preach, as you listen to the music and sing along, let's get to the heart of the matter. And it's the heart of worship that God's looking for. It's your heart that God is looking for today.
Something that's a word that would
Ken, I've been trying to say that for 5 months. What I've been trying to say for 5 months, that's what it is. That's what he just said. So forget everything I've said for 5 months. What he just said, listen to that. That is awesome, Ken. Thank you. Guests, I've already met guests, and we're glad that you're here. Glad that you're part of our worship service today. If you look to the far right-hand side of your bulletin, you'll notice a little QR code there. Hit that QR code with your phone and it'll take you to our guest card, and you can fill that out for us. Give us as much information as you'd like to give us. We would appreciate you doing that. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Amen. Good morning. Y'all may be seated as we sing this new song to our church today. Hope it'll be a blessing to you as Carson leads us. All hail King Jesus.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared. All hail King Jesus.
ushers, if you'll come. Father, thank you so much for the day of worship. Thank you, Father, for this time that we share together as the body of Christ, Father. Worship is not just a once a week on Sunday for an hour. Worship is something that is a part of who we are every single day. As we worship as the body of Christ, your people, what you really want, Father, is our hearts motivated by worship, love, generosity for you. And Father, with that heart, then you can move us. You can guide us. You can direct us. You can discipline us. You can open our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our souls to you and to you alone. So I pray, Father, that you would mold and shape our hearts today, Father, as we realize that we are here to worship you and you alone. Father, as we give, as Kim was saying earlier, giving, that's an act of worship. Everything that we do is an act of worship. So, Father, as we give with hearts that love you. Not begrudgingly, but hearts that are full of love for the gospel, the good news, carrying this good news to a world that is lost. Lord, in all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. Guide us as we continue to worship. In Christ we pray. Amen.
One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground."
As I walked through the door, I sensed his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. Beyond all measure.
and at his feet, sweet peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know that he has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground. We are standing,
we are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around.
Thank you, worship team. Man, that was great. I'm almost confident. I'm very confident. I'm almost 100% sure that with the congregation singing from behind me, y'all, all of a sudden, hearing the congregation sing out like y'all are with a full sanctuary is awesome. So hearing the congregation from behind, and then hearing this choir and the praise team and everybody up here together and the band coming to me in the front, I am 100% confident that my hair was standing up. And that's big. That's huge. Somebody got a comb? I got to comb it down. Man, that was powerful. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, worship team. What a great, great morning of worship. All right, Hosea 6, 6 and 7. That's where we are today. We'll get there in a little while, eventually. All right, so God is now calling his people to repentance. All right, that's what Ken was talking about earlier, all right? So God is calling his people to repentance, all right? God is talking to his people about their heart, the heart issue. They're doing it right, Your hearts are not in the right place. And so we see that all over Scripture. We see that in the prophets. We see that in the historical books. Man, Genesis, Exodus, I mean, the law. We see that everywhere. We see that in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. We see that in the New Covenant. It's everywhere, all over Scripture. One of the great themes of Scripture. There's a bunch of great themes of Scripture. But one of the greatest themes of Scripture is this. God wants your heart. Does He want your everything else? Yes. But it starts right here. All right? And that means repentance. Father, I need You. I can't live today without You. I can't make it without You. My heart is a repentant heart. My heart is a confessor's heart. My heart says, Lord, I am sin and I need You and Your salvation and Your grace. And so God wants that all over Scripture. And we see that. And so here we are again. God said, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now He will heal us, talking about this past Wednesday night from verse 1. He has injured us. Now He will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, He will restore us so that we may live in His presence. Oh, that we might, listen to this. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in the early spring. All right, so the obvious implication of this call to repentance is that God wants His people as a whole, they didn't even know their own heavenly Father, sovereign God. And that, church, is sad. It's heart-wrenching. Why didn't they know Him? Well, the reason that they didn't know Him is because they're like me. They started focusing on unimportant things, you know, secondary things. Things that are nowhere near as important as Him. You know, politics with neighboring nations, especially the Assyrians. Oh, the people are so worried about the politics of the day in the 8th century. Sounds familiar? It should. Oh, let's get all attention on that. And then they got their attention off on money and material possessions and all the things of this world and all of those secondary, unimportant things. Those became primary. We've been talking about this for several weeks now. I hope you're getting it. And so these unimportant things became the most important things. The gifts that God had given to them had become more important than the giver of the gifts. And now they're worshiping all of the wrong things. They forgot the most important thing, the primary thing, the worship of Almighty Sovereign God. And so what a warning. What an incredible warning to the body of Christ in the 21st century. It should be such a heavy warning to us. In the new covenant, we have to be very, very, very careful not to be consumed with other things, gifts that God has given, and miss out on the main thing, the worship of Almighty God. So false worship, Scripture reveals, has many forms. First, we can worship God in ways that God has not even commanded us to worship. That was Israel's error in Exodus 32. What did they do? They worshiped the golden calf. So that's one of the ways. Second, we can worship false gods. Ahab offered such worship in 1 Kings 16. And then Paul, in the New Covenant, writing to the church at Rome, right in the very first chapter of Romans, he talks about it. Listen to what Paul says. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky through everything God made. They clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles and just stupid stuff. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that. I can't help myself. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that. And I want, as I read, not the whole thing, but as I read this last part, I want you to think about the American culture that you and I live in, all right? And I want you to ask yourself, has anything changed since Paul wrote to the church at Rome? And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Are we confident that Paul was writing to the church at Rome? Are we not certain that Paul was writing to us 2,000 years later? Sounds real familiar, doesn't it? Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. There's a comedian, and I can't think of his name. And I looked up his name right before we walked into worship. And I have forgotten it already. Oh my gosh, y'all, this getting old thing is hard. It is so hard. I can't tell you the amount of times that Janice and I look at each other and say, why did I come into this room? What is his name? I just looked it up. I looked it up as if for some reason I thought that I was going to remember it. That's what's sad. All right, there's this comedian. I got him pictured in my head. Can you show his picture on this? I'm just kidding. Harris. All right, so I've got this. There's this comedian. He does this really good, cool bit. Great, fun little bit in his comedy show. He's not, I don't know, I think he's a believer, but I really don't really know, to be quite honest with you. I hadn't researched it that well. And he's not, he doesn't have a Christian audience. I mean, he's just got an audience. There's probably believers in the audience, but there's probably a lot of unbelievers in the audience. He's just a secular comedian, and he's a funny guy. And so he's got this bit that's pretty, really good. And he's talking about creation. And the two different basic versions of creation. There's intelligent design. The creationism, and then there's the out of nothing group. The out of nothing, secular, and then creation. Those who believe that God created, Genesis chapter 1, and God created the heavens and the earth. And then there's the out of nothing group. And the out of nothing group, all over the world, makes fun of us, the Christians, the ones who believe that God is the one who created everything. Paul says, they know God. They see Him when they wake up and look out into the creation. They know He exists. And this out of nothing group makes fun of the creation group because they make fun of us that we have faith in a God. Some God somewhere that created all things. And then he looks at the group and he says, and the out of nothing group makes fun of the creation group. But the out of nothing group, you know where their creation came from? It came from out of nothing. He said, do you know what the definition of nothing is? Nothing. What they believe can't even exist and happen. And they're making fun of us. Well, I'm appreciative of this comedian in a secular environment sticking it back to those who are making fun of us. I do appreciate that. But y'all, this has been going on. This has been going on since Hosea, since Moses, since Paul. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise. Instead, they became utter fools. Finally, we engage in worship that is nothing more than just going through the motions. That's what Ken's talking about this morning. Worship that gets the ritual right, but it doesn't lead to obedience. And at various parts, the prophets condemn Israel for every type of those false worships, but they often focus on the third form, doing it right, but spiritually dead. And we see that all over Scripture. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Micah. We're going to get to Micah. I've been working on Micah, and we're going to get to Micah here pretty soon. And Micah's no different than Hosea and Amos and Jonah. And then we get in the New Testament. The Gospels, the prison epistles, the pastoral epistles, the love letters, everywhere, all over Scripture. It's everywhere. Jesus Himself, our own Savior and Lord, quotes in Matthew chapter 15, He quotes Isaiah, the great prophet. You honor me with your lips. You say it all right, but your hearts are far from me. So we talked about false worship last Sunday. Nationalism, worshiping the nation. Health, wealth, prosperity gospel. Social gospel. The one that I focused on the most is this idea that God has a desire for me to live the great life. After worship was over with, one of the ladies came up to me and she said, I am so mad at you. And I said, why? And I said, get in line. And she said, no, I'm so mad at you because I know what you said was right and I don't want it to be right. Okay, I get that. This idea is idol worship, that what God really wants for all of us is just to live this great, great, great life. And then we define great life by how we live in America. Paul didn't get that memo. The first disciples that were all crucified didn't get that memo. So that becomes false worship. In Hosea's day, the Israelites worshiped falsely in many ways. But in today's passage, Hosea condemns them for following the sacrificial rules but missing the heart of worship. That's what we just sang about, church. John in the New Covenant says it's this simple. If you love God, you love your neighbor. That is, if you love, worship, adore, praise, and lift up your heart of worship to the Father, then it's going to lead to obedience. Verses 6 and 7, I finally got it. I finally made it there. I want you to show love, not just offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. But like Adam, you broke my covenant and you betrayed my trust. John Hobbs says, Hosea 6, 7 says, this transgression was like the transgression of Adam. Commentators differ as to what the word Adam means, for it can refer either to the first man and father of humanity or to mankind in general. If it refers to the first person God created, we have a hint that the Mosaic covenant, the broken covenant of Hosea 6, 7, has some kind of relationship to the covenant of works not shared by the other covenants the Lord has made with His people. It would also mean that Israel had shown itself no better than the Gentiles outside the covenants of promise God made with His chosen nation. The nation sinned like Adam, the father of all covenant breakers. Of course, the point is substantially the same if Adam means all mankind. Israel was no better than the pagans, the unclean Gentiles, who were as far away from the Lord as anyone could imagine. So God desires to be worshiped. I want you to listen really intently to this next line, all right? Listen real intently to this next line. When we worship in the flesh, all right? Did you hear that? I'm not talking about the style of worship, okay? Please, this is not a style of worship sermon. This has nothing to do with whether we got a praise band or a choir, all that silliness. That has nothing to do with that. Worship is something that is in our heart, and it's on Monday, it's on Wednesday, it's on Friday, it's on Sunday. As the body of Christ, it'll be tomorrow when I'm driving to church and I'm worshiping the Father. So that's what we're talking about. All right, so when we worship in the flesh, rather than in the Spirit, this is key. We desire and demand our rights be met. That hurts. And I wrote it. And we neglect the spiritual worship of God. When we worship in the flesh rather than in the Spirit, we desire that our rights be met. And we neglect the spiritual worship of God. Do we petition the Father? Do we ask for things? Do we constantly remind God that He needs to do this, He needs to do that, He needs to heal her, He needs to do this? Yes, of course we do. I'm not saying that we never ask for anything in prayer, that we never petition for our brothers and sisters in Christ. No. Don't take this too far. What I'm saying is that there must be within us this act of worship, whether it's in the body of Christ on Sunday or on Monday or on Wednesday, where all we are doing is just simply saying, Lord, I'm not doing this to get anything from You. I just worship You and adore You. My heart loves You. Amen. Period. And if I get anything from it, to God alone be the glory. Because I didn't deserve it. I have no rights. And if I don't get anything from it, to God alone be the glory. You and You alone. It is easy to criticize the false worship of others, and I know. It's very easy for me to criticize the false worship of others. I get that. I harp on it. And it is hard for us to recognize when our own worship has degenerated into mere formalism. So for me, it's vitally important that I examine my worship daily to make sure that it is in spirit and in truth. The gospel, the good news, is that God the Father demands our worship. The greatest gift in the history of the world is the gift of the gospel. What God has done for us and given to us in His Son Jesus. And that gift and that gift alone commands our worship of Him. Father, thank You for the gift of life that You've given to us in Jesus. Thank You, Father, for that gift. And that's exactly what it is, a gift. If there's anybody that's here today that doesn't know You as Savior and Lord, they know You exist, but they've never said, Lord, I repent of my sin, and I'm putting my trust and my faith in You as my Savior and Lord for all eternity. I want to live with You, and I want You to live with me. And I pray that today then is the day of salvation for them. For those who don't know You as Savior and Lord, Father, move in their hearts. And for those of us that do, Father, thank You. Thank You for the fact that when Israel made these incredible mistakes, prophets like Hosea listened to You and called them back to the heart of worship. So for those of us that know you as Savior and Lord, may that be a strong word to us. The worship of Almighty Sovereign God in my heart, in my mind, in my body, in my soul, everything I am, everything I have. Thank you, Father, for that. Bless us as we make decisions to follow you. In Christ we pray. Amen. We Fall Down is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, you've heard the gospel proclaimed through Hosea, the great old covenant prophet. So I'll be at front to receive you if you need to come and make that public. If you need to come and join our church, come and pray. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and as we sing.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the land. We fall down. We lay.
Be seated real quickly before we head off to Sunday school. What we got first, Felicia?
He's back here.
All good.
Wait, go back. All right. That the women's Bible study. Erin does not desire that we have a sign-up sheet. She's just saying, just show up. Just be there. So we'll be announcing that every week for the next several weeks, but that's going to be a great. Erin got real excited about it, telling me about it a few months ago. So that's going to be a great study, ladies. All right, keep that in mind. Put that on your calendar. All right, late day, that's today. Is that right?
That's right.
All right, what are y'all doing?
That's right. We're going to the Hall's house. We're going to go out on the boat. So let us know, girls, if you're going with us.
All right, sounds good. All right. The grief share, that is Randy Norman is going to be leading that. And Paul, and so that will begin August the 26th. They do have a sign-up sheet. They need to know how many people from our church want to be a part of that. Then they're going to open it up to the community in general. So if you'd like to be a part of the Grief Share support group, please sign up for that, all right? The men's golf outing, August the 29th. Sign-ups on the old Lord's Supper table, so sign up to be a part of that. That is a fun event, all right? What else? All right, so there's a, what am I trying to say?
First Priority.
Yeah, but what is it?
Training.
It's a ministry. All right, there's a ministry called First Priority. And First Priority goes into the school system, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. And I believe ultimately when they get there, it will be an hour before school starts. Right. And it is a great ministry, a great mission. Our superintendent, Brad, loves this ministry. And they're going to train anybody that wants to help. So they will actually need around 17 committed volunteers in order for that to happen in the elementary schools, the middle schools, and the high schools. You don't have to teach. You just have to be trained in order to help. All right, so that training will be here in this sanctuary 2 weeks from today, August the 2nd, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So if you have any desire to help, First Priority, going into our school system, teaching the gospel, then you can If you need more information, call Heather. Heather will be happy to get you to the right guy. Larry Franks is his name, or Warren. And so it's a great, great mission, a great ministry, but they're going to be training right here at First Baptist Church. So if you have any desire whatsoever to help with that, then they need not just 17 volunteers from First Baptist Church, but 17 volunteers in the city that will be willing to help with First Priority and our school system. So if you'd like to do that and you need more information, call Heather. She'll get you in the right place, or just make sure that you're here that day, August 2nd, 5 to 7, here in the sanctuary to be trained. All right? Is that,
that's good.
That's good? Yep. Good. All right. You got anything else?
Yeah, that's good.
All right,
good.
Ken? Yep. All right, let's go to Sunday school, and we'll do that by singing Celebrate Jesus.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
He is risen.
He is risen. He is risen.
Celebrate, come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, He is risen. Resurrection of our Lord, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.